Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives.
We're four marriage and sex bloggers.
Discuss the naked truth.
What does God really want for the sexual intimacy in our marriage?
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
I'm Chris Taylor from The Forgiven Wife.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Bonnie Burns of Oyster Bed 7.
Have you ever been interrupted during sex? We have. Today we're talking about the challenge of interruptions, what form they take, and what to do about them so you can still have and enjoy sexual intimacy in your marriage. So let's get right into it, ladies. What are some common interruptions couples face?
Let's all say it together.
Kids.
And pets.
Pets.
And the phone.
Young children crying or calling for you.
Doorbell.
I have such a hard time totally relaxing and shutting my brain off that anything that happens is an interruption.
So anything outside of the norm?
Anything outside of sex that, like, any sound or anything like that is an interruption. So a car can be driving really loudly down the street and I'll hear it from the bedroom and it's an interruption.
I get that. Or a bird slams into the window and you're like...
Yeah, sure.
We've had the pet thing too. Like, we've actually had where we start, you know, kissing and stuff and things are getting started and the cat literally like walked over us recently. Like, does it look like this includes you? This does not include you.
Our cat used to come at night and tap on the bedroom window. Like, she would be outside. She could jump up on the sill and she would tap on the bedroom window. Sometimes during sex, sometimes not.
Our dog once licked my foot during sex and it all of a sudden it felt really, like, really creepy in so many ways. Oh
my God. Wow.
Yeah, that dog was out of there.
Like, really?
But interruptions are the kind of thing you don't hear people talk about a lot until we're kind of married and we have these experiences and we realize, oh, well, this is something you have to contend with.
Yes. And, you know, even having the pets, like, we have two dogs, which we've learned to just shut the door and keep them out. But if they come in and they stare at you, I mean, it's not really an interruption, but who wants to have an audience?
It's a distraction.
Yeah.
So what about teenagers?
Yeah.
So they can call you while they're out. And of course, you have to answer the phone because it's your teenager who's out.
Or... You do? You have to?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I need to rethink my parenting. That might explain some things because I don't think I did. I'll be right with you right after this orgasm. Just hang on. Hope you're not bleeding.
For about a year, it seemed that every time my daughter called us, we were in the middle of sex.
Oh, my gosh.
So...
Does she know that? No,
we have not yet told her.
Well, if she listens to this podcast, she will know.
Well, my daughter does not want to listen to this podcast. She likes the fact that I do this podcast, but she doesn't ever want to listen to it.
Right.
But yeah, we had a little name that we came up with that included the word buzzkill.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone been interrupted by the doorbell? Like in our case, someone dropping off an Amazon Prime package because my husband bought yet another thing from Amazon Prime.
Yes, we have been interrupted by the UPS driver, by Amazon, by the doorbell. And there was one time it was a computer or something expensive and we had to go
sign for it.
We didn't have to sign for it, but it was something that we didn't want sitting outside. So, and we knew it was on the way and we thought we had a little time, but anyway, one of us had to throw something on and go rescue the package from the front step.
We've been accused of having sex when the doorbell rang, but we weren't.
Accused?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think we were both in the shower and nothing was happening. We were just both in the shower and the doorbell rang. So Dave had to throw something on and get to the door. So the person that was there was a good friend and they automatically assumed that something had been happening.
Well, I would presume that Dave didn't correct him, did he?
I don't think so. I think that you know, so reputation.
Yeah, that's right. I was getting busy.
Yeah.
Okay. My next question is, why do interruptions make it especially difficult for women to refocus on sexual intimacy?
If my mind is got anything going on in it other than sex, it seems to just pull me away. And it's very hard for me to shut down all of those things to just be able to enjoy sex. And so anything else that comes into my mind, it interrupts.
Yeah, it's like you put so much effort into getting your to-do list and all of that stuff out of your mind. I think just an interruption just lets it all come back in.
Mm-hmm. I think also it comes to the thing, I think you've talked about this, that when it's your children in who interrupt, you're flipped back into that other role. And yeah. So you're in the lover role and now you're like flipped back into the mom role. And for some people, that's kind of hard to put those two things together, especially sometimes your kid really does need to, you do need to go take care of them. And then when you come back, you're like, well, it's kind of.
Let's just get it over with.
Or the mood's gone.
That was a try. Nice attempt.
If it's a crying baby, I have to shut down sex in my brain long enough to be able to recognize whether it's a I'm just feeling fussy because I'm teething cry or a I'm in pain cry. You know, you have to be able to listen to the cry and then go check if you're not sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because some interruptions require you to actually get out of bed and deal with them. Like a small child who walks into the bedroom. Then you have to go put them back to bed.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the way our minds are all connected together, it's kind of like the analogy of women. Our brain is like spaghetti. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
Oh, mine is Christmas lights all tangled up. Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, everything's interconnected. So it is really hard to just compartmentalize, which men are typically better at, not necessarily always. But anyways, yeah, I have a hard time when I'm interrupted to get back into the mood.
Yeah, I think we're always juggling a bunch of thoughts. And so we kind of have to shut down all those. I've heard it talked about with like computer windows, how they pop up and you kind of have to X all of them down until you have just the sex window open. And then when you get interrupted, it's like a pop-up. You get more pop-ups and, you know, you have to go through that process again.
It's one of those spam pop-ups. I hate those things.
Oh, I know. Yes. Yeah, I actually have a blog post called My Many Mental Browser Tabs.
That's a good title.
I thought so. It works. We'll link it.
Yes, we will. Okay, so let's get specific. Do you have a story of being interrupted during sex and how you handled it?
Well, I do. And I've told it before, but I'll tell it again. We were in the second phase of our marriage. So things were really good. And we had teenagers. So it was not late evening. It was kind of early evening, but they were all in the front room in front of the TV. They were either watching, you know, Netflix or they were playing Call of Duty or something, but they were occupied and we thought that we were safe. So we were proceeding through the motions and we were proceeding and we were getting pretty far into the motions. And right at the very special part of the motions, there's a knock on the door. And we were so much into the special part of the motions that neither one of us could say anything.
Oh my gosh.
But we could burst out laughing, and that's what happened. We just both burst out laughing, and I can't even remember if we said, we'll talk to you in a minute, or, you know, I can't remember how we addressed him, but the door never opened, and he went away, and we got dressed, and about 15 minutes later, went back out, because it was early evening, it wasn't time to go to bed yet, or sleep, and when I walked out, my son's friend said to him, yeah, they were doing it.
Oh, my gosh.
And then nothing else was said. Maybe I should have addressed it and said, yes, you know, we're a healthy couple. We love each other. I didn't. I probably should have snatched up that teaching moment, but I didn't.
Your kids want to talk about it even less than you do.
Especially in front of their friends.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool, actually, that your friend said it, because then you didn't have to. You didn't. But it was like, I bet the friend was thinking that you guys were cool. But
maybe.
Still.
I didn't ask. I've seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, let's not ask. Let's not ask specifics.
That's so much better than any of my stories, because I don't handle interruptions well, because it's such a distraction and it's such a frustration for me. So, yeah, like what these times when my daughter has called, what I've had to learn to do is just, there have been a couple times when we've really had to answer the phone because of what's been going on in her life, but I'll have my husband answer it. And so I just kind of cover my ears and try to keep thinking sexy thoughts Yeah, my stories aren't good because.
But that's a good thing though. Sexy thoughts, sexy thoughts, sexy thoughts, sexy thoughts. I mean, that's kind of a.
Yeah, but it's weird because I know it's like. But when she's on the phone on the other end of the phone, then it's like I still feel like she's present in a way, and so then that's kind of icky. Mm-hmm. So I still have work to do apparently. Well, so Gay, do you have a story?
I don't have anything as good as Bonnie's. I mean, the most.
I know. I mean, who does, right?
Well, I don't know. I haven't told mine yet.
Yeah. Oh, okay. The most direct interruption I can recall is, you know, when one of our sons was pretty young, like not really young enough, not really old enough to get what was going on, but old enough to get out of bed and walk from his room into our room. And all of a sudden he's standing there at the side of the bed and we're like, hello.
Oh, wow.
Why are you here?
Hello. But he was, you know, I mean, it was pretty shocking to us, but was he like
preschool or?
Probably preschool. Okay. That's what I'm picturing is like 3-ish. Mm-hmm.
We're like, so did he say anything to you? No, like, can I play?
No, I think it was like, you know, I want water or I can't go to sleep or, you know, something like that. We're like, okay, we'll be right there with you in just a minute.
So he didn't even acknowledge that you were doing anything.
No, I don't think he realized anything.
Yeah. So you didn't have to say, Mommy and Daddy are just wrestling.
Yeah. No, I don't
And it would have been young enough too that he's not likely to remember that.
I don't know. I don't think
Let's
so.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Because but anyway, story, but it was a real mood killer on, you know.
Oh, yeah.
My story is about my son who was, I want to say he was about 7 at the time. He might have been 7 or 8, something like that. And we had traveled to my in-law's house. My father-in-law was gone, but my mother-in-law moved in with my brother-in-law. Anyway, so she wasn't in the house anymore. It was an empty house and they were about to get ready to sell it. But we came into town. They were like, well, you should just stay there. And we brought air mattresses and stuff. So we just stayed on the floor. Everything was working and whatever. But for reasons I don't understand, there was no lock on the master bedroom. But the boys were in a whole other part of the house. And so they're sleeping in there and that we wake up the next morning and very early in the morning, we think we are in the clear. We decide to begin engaging. And so we are in the middle, and I mean in the middle of it all. And the 7-ish year old walks in. Just walks in.
You heard that door creak and in he came.
And oh dear. It's amazing how quickly you can go from painting excitement to complete total frozen composure. So yeah, we were just like, what do you need? Well, I such and such, I got up early and I'm hungry, da da da. Okay, we'll be out in just a little bit. We'll be out in just a little bit. And so close the door. But I mean, you know, so I'm underneath and my husband is on top. I mean, this is not how we usually are positioned, but he didn't say anything. And I've many times thought, I wonder if there was an age, I'm not going to ask him. I wonder if there was an age or will be an age at which he looks back and realizes I walked in on my parents in the middle of it. But we honestly, we just like that time we just stopped because it was like, it was just gone. And we were like, there's no lock on the door. We are not going to keep going. That was as good as it got.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. Lock on door. Check.
I know. Well, see that one people say, why didn't you lock the door? I'm like, well, we couldn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back. But our sponsor for this episode is Christian Friendly Sex Positions. We've talked about them on our podcast several times, but they've recently come out with a great product we want our listeners to know about. They're now offering downloadable sex position cards. This is a 29-page printable with more than 220 positions. The cards come with instructions on how to tailor the pack to your specific marriage so that you'll expand your positions repertoire in a way that works for you. As a bonus, couples who purchase the position cards get free expansion packs as more positions are added to the collection. The sex position cards are only $9.99, and listeners can easily find them by going to positioncards.com. That's positioncards.com. These easy-to-use cards are an excellent fun way to discover new sex positions. Be sure to check out this resource from Christian Friendly Sex Positions, and we thank them for sponsoring today's episode. Now, back to the show. Let's get practical. How can we minimize interruptions?
A lock.
On the door. Turn your phones on silent and face down so you don't see them light up.
Yeah. Or leave them in the other room if you can. I guess if you have kids and you need to.
It kind of depends on what time of day it is. But yeah, it's phones out of the room or off work. That works for me.
There's always a question of what to do with our cat, because on one hand you can say, well, you should put the cat out. But yeah. The problem is, well, I know, they'll just stand at the door. Like ours would just stand at the door and meow, or even eventually start scratching at the door.
Mm. And it's which like, then well, is a distraction of itself.
That's worse than like having the cat in there.
It's walking on you?
Well, you know, we could push the cat off, but more often the cat's just like on the bed, just sitting there looking at us like, I don't know what y'all are doing. This is my nap place and you're disturbing it. I'm like, okay, when I can get that.
When my kids were little, I would, and if it was bedtime, I would go check and make sure everybody was at least on their way to being asleep so that I would, you know, I couldn't really prevent them from needing anything, but I could, you know, do what I could to ensure that we were less likely to get interrupted by kids.
Mm-hmm. A little forethought.
Yeah.
We use a fan, and not so that people won't hear us, but that we can't hear anything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. So if the kids were, like when they were watching TV and playing video games in the other room, we had the fan on, so we didn't hear them. So that's part of the reason we didn't hear him sneak up on us. Mm-hmm.
We used to use the History Channel for that. You know, we'd have some war show with cannons going off. So, you know, that sort of.
But didn't the narration distract you? I find that, I did those bedroom. I have bedroom soundtracks on my blog, just different kinds of music that I suggest for your rendezvous entertainment. But sometimes a song will come on and it has lyrics that attract my attention. And so then I'm listening to the words and I have to tell Dave, no, next song.
Well, I would just
pulls me away.
My husband he's not distracted by the words. And I would just make sure it was about a war I wasn't interested in. And then
the Civil War.
No, I like it, learning about the Civil War. So a Civil War was a bad choice. Oh, but World War II, I just, it's like I could tune that one out.
Okay.
And, you know,
more specific. Okay.
Interesting. Because I think the mention of Hitler in the middle of lovemaking would really kill it for me.
Well,
buzz kill. Yeah.
But hey, I think this is great in the sense that you kind of have to figure out what works for you. I mean, you know,
I know.
Don't say Robert E. Lee. She is out of there.
Then sex is over.
That's funny. I think also you can tell your kids too that, you know, hey, we're, you know, this is mom and dad alone time, and you guys have this program or something. Just don't disturb us unless you really have something that can't wait.
If you're spurting blood from an artery, and by spurt I mean spurt it out, then you can. That's what I've told them.
Yeah. How projectile is the bomb?
Because I finally had to be very specific about what my definition of bleeding was.
Yeah, well, I tried that when it wasn't related to sex, but my boys were fighting in the back seat of the van, and I just said, I'm not turning around unless there's blood. And within 5 minutes, I saw blood in the rear view.
No, did somebody get their nose punched or what?
Yes, it was a nose punch. And
See, boy moms know. Was it a nose punch? Yeah, it was a nose punch.
Yeah, that too. Okay.
See how easily distractible I am?
So how can we deal? We may have dealt with this somewhat, but how can we deal with interruptions that happen no matter what? How can we get our minds back in there and just prioritize the sexual intimacy?
So Chris already mentioned this, but I think sometimes it works better to let your husband deal with the interruption, whether it's answering the phone call from the teenager, or it's going to see what the baby's crying about or what the toddler needs, because stereotyping, but more often than not, he's going to be less distractible than you are.
But at the same time, men are physically more, if you're, they're in the middle of sex, there's an erection that they have to deal with and try to conceal under a robe. And that might not always be an easy thing to do.
Yeah. And your son might go, nice tent, Dad.
Okay. Well, you can send him to deal with the baby then.
No. I think that's a great idea. Send
the man. Oh my gosh.
I knew I'd get a laugh.
People who are listening to us now.
It's like, who are these women?
I know.
Sorry, no. Listeners.
Yeah, I'm not. I should be, but I'm not.
No, that was a great idea.
Yeah. Well, I think this is all about, you know, the challenges. This is real life, real sex.
And another thing, if you husbands go and take care of the little distractions, it actually will fill her love tank, which means that'll make her even more interested in sexual intimacy.
And she will feel cared for.
Yes. Yes. I think one of the sweetest things my husband ever did, we had the flu going, this isn't sexual related, but we had the flu going around and our kids were tiny, preschoolers. And you know, we had an eruption and I'm screaming, it ran in and there was both ends going on. And he said, I'll take care of the sheets if you take care of the kid. That was like,
wow. He did pukey laundry.
He did pukey laundry.
Wow.
He was my hero.
Yeah.
I actually have one of my short stories that's in the Behind the Closed Doors book. Anyway, I actually have the husband goes and checks on the child instead of the wife. He offers and he says he's got this. But when he goes in there, basically he's like begging for this kid to go to sleep and promises him a sports car when he gets older. He'll just be quiet so he can finish having sex.
Oh.
So.
You know, I will say that most of the time with our interruptions, even if I couldn't get myself back in the zone of being responsive, we all almost always still finished up, even if it was just ended up being up for my husband. So that, you know, at least sex still happened, even if it wasn't how we had started to plan it. And that was not something he ever insisted on or asked for. That was just my approach to dealing with it if I couldn't get myself back in the mood. Although there were a couple times that involved children vomiting where neither one of us, we were both done. It's
yeah, we've had times where, you know, we're just both like, okay, well, you know.
We'll try tomorrow.
But the thing is, we're still intimate, even if you don't finish.
Yes, it still counts as sex.
Yeah, it was still connecting. I mean, I think sex is the whole kit and caboodle, so.
And I think another way to deal with it was already mentioned too, which is just laughing. I mean, you just have to see it as funny, you know, mm-hmm. and like something yeah. you're having to go through together and you might as well make the best of it.
And laughter is closely related to orgasm and the kinds of brain chemicals they release. Mm-hmm. So it's almost really? As good as an orgasm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we like to laugh so much.
Must be.
I think we gave us a lot of ideas and some funny stories. Does anyone have anything else we need to add? Wrap this up? Nope. Going once, going twice. Okay. Guess that's a wrap. We want to remind listeners how much we appreciate you leaving us a review on iTunes. So if you haven't done that, please do. And those who've already left a review, thanks so much. We know this has helped others find our show. And of course, as always, we love when you share about this podcast to your friends. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Before we sign off, if you've heard any great takeaways in our podcasts, please visit our GoFundMe account. The link's found on our website for forchristianwives.com. You may not know that we all live in different states. We're raising money for Jay, Gay, and Chris to gather at my house so we can record around the same kitchen table as well as develop new material to help you grow your marriage bed. We depend upon your generosity to further this ministry. Thanks so much for joining us today on Sex Chat for Christian Wives. We encourage you to check out our website for forchristianwives.com, where you can find show notes, links to resources, as well as that GoFundMe button. May God bless you this week as you pursue healthy and holy sexual intimacy in your marriage.